Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Moms Need Moms podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Camacho. This episode is fire. Seriously, please listen. Listen, if you haven't listened to anything, listen to this episode. It really will warm your heart. I have my very special guests who I can't wait for all of you to hear. Through a mutual friendship, I was connected with this next guest, who is a remarkable individual, truly the nicest, sweetest man you could ever meet. So good to talk to him. And I wanted to keep talking to him because what he has to tell you, his story and about him and his journey and his organization, is mind-blowing. And it will literally make you cry, light a fire under your butt, and make you go out there and want to help, because this is just epic. My guest is Jim Elliott, founder and president of an organization called Dive Heart. And please Google it. Look them up on the internet. They are absolutely amazing, inspiring, and just doing so many organization and just doing so many wonderful things for the community of people with disabilities. Dive Heart is a not-for-profit organization who, through a form of therapy called adaptive diving, which is scuba diving, through that form of therapy, they help people with disabilities, all types of disabilities. They help them gain independence and confidence and get back their fireness, their fierceness. I mean, it's just incredible that through something so natural, right? Because you know, and I talk about this in the interview, is when you get that first diagnosis, you're lost, right? You feel terrible. You feel awful. You feel like the worst mom in the world. You don't know how you're going to help your child now get through all this. And you have doctors and therapists and people telling you left and right, do this and do that, you know, get your kids started on this therapy, get your kids started on this medication. And there's so many things out there. And I'm not saying any of those things are bad. Whatever works for you, no judgment here, right? No judgment. You do what you know is best for your child. I will not judge anyone for any type of form of treatment that they take with their child, because that's your kid. Right? You know your kid better than anyone. So who am I to judge, right? And the beauty about what Jim's story brings to the table is yet another alternative, a very natural homeopathic type of treatment for all types of disabilities, including autism spectrum disorder, which my son has. So it's just a beautiful thing. Definitely hear him out, listen to it, Google him, follow him, because man, you are going to be mind blown by this. I wanted to cry because I saw some of the testimonials, the videos of people who went through the trainings and the miraculous, you know, changes that they went through. I mean, these are people who were once active individuals, and all of a sudden something unfortunate tragically happened to them where now they're no longer able to, you know, use their limbs, or they're disabled or they're blind. And through Dive Heart, through Jim's efforts, they have been able to gain back their independence, just to be, you know, be strong people, be citizens of the country, of the world, right? They're able to get back to how they were, you know, and it gets them feeling like their possibilities and their opportunities are limitless, and it makes them feel included. And that's what really drew me, because all I want for my child is to be included, no matter what happens, no matter where he goes in life, no matter how he gets there. You know, no matter what decisions he makes, I just want him to be a part of all of the beauty, you know, that everyone deserves. So anyway, enough of that ranting and raving. I'm really excited for you to hear this. And I hope you get to listen to the entire interview. And if you do and you love it, which I know you will, please, please, please share it on social media and tag me. And if you can give me a nice review on Apple Podcasts, I would greatly appreciate it. I know you're going to love this. Here it goes. Enjoy. And I will talk to you all soon. So I just want to say welcome. And why don't you just let us know who you are and what you do?
No, it sounds good. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share our story. 22 years ago, I founded Dive Heart. And really what inspired me was my oldest daughter was born blind. And so at one point, the doctor said she probably has brain damage. Very early on. So they did tests, and he came out of the tests, this neuro doctor, and said, I have good news and I have bad news. And he said, the good news is your daughter doesn't have brain damage. The bad news is she's blind. And I just went, yeah, she's blind. All right. I'm like, isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Blind kid.
Yeah.
And so God actually got her involved in downhill skiing when in the 80s, when she was struggling with identity, with being blind. And so then after some downhill skiing, and I trained and guided blind skiers for decades, so I transform a lot of lives. And now people are self-identifying as a skier instead of somebody with a disability. So I like that idea. And I had been diving since I was in college because I was a journalism major. And I thought if I ever meet any famous diver, like there's a guy named Jacques Cousteau who's famous in the industry. If anybody, you know, if I ever meet someone like that, I better know how.
Yeah.
So really it was just another arrow in my quiver as a journalist. And all of a sudden I'm going, wow, I could do in diving what I've been doing in skiing. And the cool thing is I knew it was therapeutic.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first got in the open water and looked down and you're 50 feet over a reef and you're hovering in midwater going, oh my God, this is like being a superhero where you can jump out into the intersection and fly. You know,
So, the weightlessness. I love that.
Yeah. And the cool thing about diving is for kids with autism or any kind of ability is it takes me the better part of 2 days to get a blind person acclimated to skis and you know all that initiate turns and following commands. But in 30 minutes, if you've never been in the water and you're in a wheelchair, I can get you standing up underwater.
Wow.
And what's cool for me is the high for me is I get that person in the water for the first time. They look down and see themselves standing up and they go, oh my God, I'm standing up.
Yes.
For the first time since my injury, maybe, or for the first time in my life, like if ever. I were with cerebral palsy. So that is like the high for me. And then teaching them how to use their abilities, whatever those abilities are, to navigate around the pool or open water or whatever. And we found that it's just amazing for kids with autism, because as you know, right, the pressure is a therapy, right? So you have pressure vests and weighted blankets and sensory deprivation rooms, right? But when you go underwater, what it does is it eliminates all the surface triggers, and the ambient pressure increases as you go down. So And the cool factor is off the charts, and it helps kids focus who are on the spectrum.
Regulate.
Yeah. So, and breathing is a big part of this too. I teach them how to breathe, and so it's kind of breathing therapy. Oh, wow. It's physical therapy where they get extended range of motion. Mm-hmm. It's zero gravity, and the ambient pressure helps. Doctors from Johns Hopkins went with one of our teams and found that there's an extra output of serotonin if you get to 66 feet underwater. Well, that helps with pain management, and it helps with PTSD symptoms in the study that they found. So, we have people in chronic pain for 10 or 15 years. The second day of a dive trip, they roll up and go, Jim, I've been in chronic pain 10 years. This is the first time I've been pain-free since my injury. And it'll last while they're on the trip. And then it can last up to 2 weeks after before the chronic pain starts coming back.
Oh, wow. So it actually is a form of therapeutic, treatment to say, because I'm, and first of all, wow, I had no idea. First of all, that there's actual scientific, you know, proof that this works. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, my son, you know, for the audience, they know my son is autistic. And when he became diagnosed, they recommended a whole bunch of therapies with scientific evidence that these types of therapies work, like PT, you mentioned PT, OT, speech, and ABA, you know, behavioral therapy. But never have I ever heard of the adaptive diving as being, you know, a form of therapy. You have me intrigued, because although, you know, my son is four, and I want to ask you a question about that, to know that there exists a different form of therapy in this community, especially with moms with kids on the spectrum or disabilities, there is so much information, so many types of treatments, and you get very overwhelmed at the beginning when you first get the diagnosis. You don't know what to do. But to know that, for me, thinking adaptive diving, it's very natural. It, you know, there's no medication involved. There's no drugs. There's it's all like very just natural therapy, and it works with any type of disabilities, you know, and that's something amazing. I mean, seriously, we need to, if it hasn't been put out there, we need to suggest this, because this is amazing. The fact that you mentioned about the breathing, and the sensory things, I definitely can relate to that. My son, it has a lot of sensitivities. He has the sensory processing disorder, and the breathing is something that I'm trying to work with him on, you know, because it'll definitely help regulate when he's going through a meltdown or something like that. I mean, but that would work for anybody. Mm-hmm. My question is, what is the age that you've seen or that you think is appropriate to start this type of therapy?
We start working with 10-year-olds. You can go as young as 8, mm-hmm. But to get certified as a diver, for example, you would have to be 10. So that's kind of our minimum threshold, you know, yeah. Age-wise. And we work with people into their 90s.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so there's really no end. Our first scuba therapy class that I taught was in 1997 at the hospital near us, their therapy pool. And all the research I had done, there was nothing in the world like it.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I got into this, I intuitively knew that it was therapeutic. And I immediately went to Midwestern University, a medical university here, mm-hmm. in Downers Grove, where we're based, and started talking to the head of physical therapy and occupational therapy. And actually, in our media kit at diveheart.org, mm-hmm. in our media kit, we have a story that WGN television did about a study we did with Midwestern University on the world's first on autism and scuba therapy. And they go into sensory and they go into some of this, mm-hmm. and it's out there. And the easy way for people to see what we do is if they went to our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. And they click on playlist, and we have organized by subject. For example, okay. we have all 22 years of stories on military stories, wow. and disability, all types of disabilities, and we have medical stories, and we have documentaries, mm-hmm. and we have major features done, and then we also have symposiums. So what we started doing very early on is organizing the medical community that started to wanted to understand more about this, or did understand about this, right. We started doing symposiums. So we have 11 years of symposiums that we've captured on video. And the most recent one was virtual because of COVID, yeah. you know, but the head of hyperbaric medicine at Duke University Medical Center, or wow. Northwestern University in Chicago, or Shriners Hospital, yeah. and they talk about the different benefits, and you know, that's one great way, especially for physical therapists, occupational mm-hmm. therapists, recreational therapists, and also rehab docs. Mm-hmm. I would look at the symposiums and really start taking notes on what the decades of research that have been, that we've really helped initiate. So yeah, and the cool factor with diving is off the charts too.
Yeah.
So you know, when somebody with a disability can self-identify as as a diver, now
that's
they go
awesome. That's like a credential. You're like, I'm a diver, you know? Like what? What's more cooler than that?
Yeah, and so many people that do not have a disability are afraid to dive. That's what makes it cool though, is that fact that, oh, you're a diver? Oh my God, you know,
yeah.
I'm afraid to dive, right? The sharks always come up. And sharks really
that's
aren't.
That's what I was going to say. We're in their territory, so that freaks me out.
Sharks are not an issue at all.
That to me is fascinating. Just the fact that the scuba diving, because for my son and for a lot of kids on the spectrum, I don't know if you know, but that they're very drawn to water. Mm-hmm. It's actually a scary statistic because here in Florida, the amount of kids that drown a year and on the spectrum, it's really scary. Like you really need to like think about giving them swimming lessons at an early age because it's really bad. But they are drawn to the water, you know, like my son. And what I'm thinking is like, oh my goodness, this might be something that I would consider, you know, in the future for him, because he does love the water. He enjoys being in there and we love to, you know, I don't have a pool, but when we get to the ocean or, you know, if I go to a relative's house, the first thing he wants to do, you know, and I think it has a lot to do because I see him, he hasn't gotten the full blown of how to swim yet, but just the feeling of him, like sometimes he just floats. And it's that feeling, like you said, that you, for someone who has, you know, hasn't had the use of their legs or something, it's like a miracle. You're like, oh my gosh, you know? And what I was reading on your website is that you had a quote about saying that when we're underwater, we're all equal, right? Doesn't matter if you're disabled or not, because I'll go underwater and I'll be able to move around the same way someone who's disabled. And that's what makes that to me is so amazing, because it kind of promotes inclusion, which is very big in the disability community. I think at the end of the day, they all just want to be included. You know, I want my son to be included, you know, he has a disability, but he should still be able to enjoy anything that he wants to do. And scuba diving, wow, if he can do that, if anyone with a disability can do that, then what can't they do? You know, and I'm sure that's what you see every day, what you do.
I'm glad you brought up inclusion, because a lot of times a child with autism, let's say their dad is a veteran in a wheelchair, a wheelchair user, and there are things that they can't do. They can't maybe go out and throw a ball. They can't go out and play hockey, you know, do a lot of activities. But what's beautiful about what we do, because it is a great equalizer, is this is an activity with the right training and the right team around these individuals. A child with autism or cerebral palsy or another disability could go diving with their father and be equal underwater. Cause we teach them how to think about using their breath. Cause when you breathe in, you go up, and when you exhale, you go down. And the goal is to be neutrally buoyant. So if imagine jumping off a building in the middle of an intersection and hovering at 50 feet above the traffic, and that's what we do. We teach them how to hover above a reef or a sandy flat or whatever. And the thing that I really love to do is get somebody in a current and then have them on a sandy flat and have the current behind them, where it pushes them forward, and they use whatever abilities they have, but they really use their breath to control their up and down movement. And that's kind of the goal for me, is to get them independent. And then the team moves away from them. They're just off camera, really.
Yeah.
I like to shoot video. And now you have this video of you out of your wheelchair, running along the bottom of the ocean. And it's just like, wow. I said, you need to show this to your therapist. You need to your rehab doc.
Exactly. You have that, you're giving them that feeling of independence, right? Because it's like they've felt like they've had to depend on the wheelchair are on some other form of equipment or family members to do everything. And then here you are in the beautiful ocean and you're free. You could do it on your own. I mean, I don't know, it just blows my mind. It just blows my mind how something like that that's accessible can do so much for people with disabilities. It really is. I was reading about your team for the Dive Heart. Now, tell me about like the type of people who are part of your organization who work with the people with disabilities. Are they like what kind of team member do you look for? Like someone who's a scuba diver? Do they start off as a volunteer or like what sort of, you know, what's that like?
Well, the gamut runs the gamut. We have a documentary in our media kit called Turning Point. We had somebody watch it in Southern California, and we're based in Chicago. And the lady called and said, my husband and I watched Turning Point last night. We're not divers, but we sat and cried. Where can we send a check? And this family has turned into one of our largest donors, and they don't even dive. People can, they'll set up Facebook fundraisers for us, and I donate to all of them personally. And that's a great way to help us. Facebook doesn't take fees, and that saves us money. But so fundraising is a great way of helping us at events. Like this Saturday, we're doing a fun thing where I have an Easter Bunny costume. So I'm a 6'2 Easter Bunny.
Nice.
I put a scuba tank on. So I'm the scuba.
Oh, Easter. That's cool. please post that. I got to see that. That's awesome.
I'll have volunteers here at the event talking to people. We have a balloon lady that volunteers and makes
kids.
So we'll have them come and volunteer. Just sharing our stories is a huge way to be an ambassador and just help us get the word out. If you find something that resonates with you, whether it's on autism or the piece you watched on Tracy, the Navy vet who has ALS, that piece is so moving. It's only five minutes, but it can really help you get perspective. And really, scuba diving is not what this is all about. It's hard to believe. It's about creating a paradigm shift in the individual. Now it's not Johnny in a wheelchair. It's Johnny the scuba diver. Go out and take on other challenges. And what happens then is he has a sphere of influence, and he'll inspire people in his family and neighbors and people around him. And the more you can create that ripple effect, the more you're going to make society a positive place. Like you said, there's so much negativity sometimes, but create that positive ripple and you never, never know where it's going to end up.
Exactly. Look where we are today. So this, I completely believe in that. I completely believe that the universe brings people together somehow, or whoever you believe in, they put the right people in the right path. And it's definitely, you know, I can definitely see it with what you're doing in your organization. For someone who, like a person with disabilities, is it usually them that reaches out to your organization, or is it family members that just come across your page or whatever and say, hey, you know, we've tried so many ways to help them. You know, this sounds like something different and new that they might enjoy. Like what do you normally see from the community when they reach out to you for help?
Well, this is our 22nd year as a nonprofit, and I've been doing this
for
97. Thank you. And we have people come to us, you know, thank God for the internet, right? Because they can search on adaptive scuba, and we're probably the first thing that pops up. And what we've helped do is spread the word and grow and promote adaptive scuba around the world and inspire others. Like one of our biggest programs is in Malaysia, believe it or not.
Wow.
I know, in Kuala Lumpur. I'll be there 2 weeks in September training guys from Borneo and Malaysia and all over Asia. And it's as we grow, people find us in different ways. They might find us a dive operator. They might find us through another charity. I had someone from the VA hospital call me yesterday and ask about how some of their participants and their vets could get involved. So we're constantly doing that. And I believe stories stick. That's why know, my background is journalism, radio, TV, newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if I could talk all day long, but if you can see a story like Tracy's story, mm-hmm. that is powerful stuff. And then you can put that on your social media network and you can inspire people that may be following you that don't even really know you very well, but now you've changed their life too. And that ripple effect is something that I really dig. But yeah, the internet is great. We just moved into our first street level kind of retail looking place. Donor that covered our rent for 3 years, which is awesome.
And that's a blessing. Oh my goodness.
Up until now, for the last 22 years, we've been underground, basically in basements.
Wow.
So this is exciting for us. So now
you have light, you have sunlight.
Windows was a big thing. My office
windows.
The executive director and office manager were very, very happy.
No, I'm sure. Oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. So I know you have a few locations. You mentioned Malaysia. Where else? Your main location is in Illinois, in Chicago, right? And what other locations do you have out there?
We're based in Chicago, and people have said, Jim, why don't you go to a coast where, you know, there's more water and easier.
Florida.
And I said, well, I have decades and decades of media experience and mm-hmm. business contacts mm-hmm. in the Chicagoland area. And, you know, we have pro bono services from our lawyers and from the, you know, our IT people and it's relationships that I've developed over decades, and to uproot and just move somewhere else doesn't make sense. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I'm really 30 minutes away from two major international airports. So I can get the good diving pretty quickly. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah.
Access to transportation is key. So that's good. Well,
our philosophy over the years has changed from trying to do as much as we could just ourselves mm-hmm. to inspiring and teaching people around the world. So we train instructors now. We have our own training program.
Oh, great.
Came out with in 2014. And we train instructors all over the world, and then instructor trainers, mm-hmm. and people above them are examiners. So we're creating now these communities in South Florida, like the Keys. Florida Keys has several of our instructors.
Oh, awesome. I'm not too far. I'm in Miami, so
Fort Lauderdale has instructors, and Miami over the years
awesome.
We've trained a lot of buddies and instructors. So it's constantly changing, you know, life. Right. It takes, you know, somebody's here today and then they're off on an adventure, or their life, you know,
life happens
to be a caregiver or something like that. So
Yeah.
So it changes all the time, but we're now promoting and inspiring and training. Mm-hmm. And we do trips because our training program requires you to have experience.
Yes. I
trained in the early days, I trained thousands of instructors and dive buddies, and I was wondering why they weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. The training, and it was because they didn't have the confidence or the experience. So mm-hmm. that's why we developed our own program to give them that.
Yeah,
so we'll go on a trip. Like if you watch the documentary Adapting to Dive, which has won now 10 International Film Festival awards since May.
Wow.
That documentary shows our trip from soup to nuts, start to finish, and it's really a powerful story. On top of it being on one of our trips, but that at the end of the trip, you know, you have met and dove with, if mm-hmm. you're doing training as an instructor, you've met and dove with someone with autism day one, and then ALS day two, and spinal cord injury day three, and traumatic brain injury day four.
Wow.
And then in the afternoon, we do empathy training. So we make you blind. We make you a paraplegic.
Wow.
We make you a paraplegic. We simulate that. So now you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Through this. So by the end of the week, you've got some empathy training behind you. You've met and shared all sorts of experiences with people of all different types of abilities. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the week, you have some sense of it as an instructor or a dive buddy as to what's required. And to some, you know, instructors' credit, they come on several trips before they really get the confidence mm-hmm. to go out and do it on their own. And we're marketing some partners, and we're training partners. And if you do dive hard training, we're there to promote your training. We're there to give you advice. You could Zoom us into a classroom and we can answer questions about all sorts of different things.
so just because I'm curious, so someone like me who's never dived before, and let's say I'm like, oh my God, I want to help. I want to do this. Jim, what do I need to do? Like, I have never, is it possible for someone with my no experience whatsoever to just jump in and do one of these training programs and, you know, bring that to my community? You know, maybe I'm in a location that you would want to have more people know about your organization and have access to your program. Is that possible?
Absolutely. In fact, in the documentary, Adapting to Dive, the filmmaker talks to someone like you who says she's a volunteer at picnics and helping us at events. And they said, well, why don't you dive? Oh, no, that's not for me. I'm too anxious. And so then she finally got the courage up to for us to teach her to dive. And then she got some dives underneath her belt, went on a couple of our trips. And then they said, well, you're a diver now. Why don't you become a buddy and help out with a team? Oh, and she was, oh, no, she was, that's not for me. I have too much anxiety and all this stuff. And so then she was going through buddy training, and you watch her develop and unfold and tell her story. Wow. In the documentary about how she had this anxiety.
Yep.
And she's a surgical room nurse. So she's under high pressure.
Oh, wow. So she knows that, that high anxiety type environment.
But she's calm, you know, that environment, she's calm, but on life support underwater, it kind of whole thought of it. It's not natural to breathe underwater.
You're vulnerable.
So we got to get people to wrap their head around that whole thing first. When I first get you in the water, sometimes people will put their head in the water with the regulator in their mouth and their mask and take a breath in and go, I can't do this. And I just laugh and I just go, your brain is saying, what are you doing?
Yeah. You don't belong here.
You can breathe underwater.
Yeah.
Once your brain kind of goes, oh, I can breathe underwater.
Yeah.
I can move underwater. Oh, I can control my buoyancy. It kind of, it's a process, not an event.
Well, yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because ironically, we did breathe underwater, every single one of us, for 9 months, right? I mean, if you think about it, right? I saw a movie, nothing to do with this, but it's called The Abyss. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've seen it.
And there was a scene where he had to, the main character, I forgot, Ed Harris, I think, he had to go underwater. And the guy, basically, he would wear the helmet with the water, and they had to train him to breathe underwater. And the guy said, remember, you breathe for 9 months. Your mind or your body remembers that you could breathe underwater, you know? And it's just funny that it's ironic that, I don't know why, but you said that. And I'm like, well, technically, we did kind of all live underwater for 9 months, you know?
All,
and then
all
of a sudden, we come to the world, and we're like, oxygen, what's that?
Yeah, we were in a zero gravity aquatic environment inside of our mothers.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. So sometimes we'll do social media posts about that synergy and analogy of really, this is where we came from.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And you're talking about the documentary. Is that the one by David Marsh?
Yes.
I have to watch. So it's available to watch, right?
It's on Amazon. On Tubi TV, so you get commercials, but it's free.
Yeah.
And it's also on Roku.
Okay.
There's like four other streaming services. That is
awesome. Yeah, I need to watch that. I saw the preview of it, and what moved me about that too was he himself was going through a really bad time, right? He had lost his son, and he still went forward with doing the documentary because he wanted to tell your story, the organization, the story. And he said that through doing that, he himself was healing, you know, and that's why I love this, because I think even if the people who partake in the adaptive diving, I'm sure they're getting their confidence back. Like Tracy in that video, she wanted her fierceness back, you know, and you provide that to people with disabilities. But I think it also helps, you know, someone like me or neurotypical people that through the volunteering, through the telling of the story, like you said, sharing it on social media, that's like a way of healing yourself as well. If you're going through some kind of a tough season, or maybe you're going through something, watching your loved one with a disability have all these challenges, and through helping, I feel like, you know, you're not just helping people with disabilities, you're helping the world, you're helping their families, their loved ones. And that, to me, when I listened to David Marsh, I was like, oh my God, that's, you know, cause I was heartbroken, and I'm like, oh, but he went through with it and look what came out of it, you know, a wonderful documentary that everyone should watch.
we didn't know. The thing is, David didn't say anything to anyone. So we didn't know that he had lost his son a week before. So we didn't know until the last night. And we had 40 people in a circle. And the first day, we go around and meet everybody, so we know who's in the room.
Right.
And then the last night, we go, what did you think? You know, Joanne, what did you think, David? And David Marsh, the filmmaker, was the last one to talk. And his brother was filming as well. His brother was filming him while he did this reveal to all of us and said, you know, you didn't know this, but boom, and said, I lost my son a week before. Oh, and God. The people behind him, you could see just tears running down their eyes. And but he said, like you said, this trip and learning about your challenges and, you know, this has been a blessing, and I'm an adaptive diver now, he said, basically. But it really changed his life. And I can't imagine where David Marsh would be. His son had passed on Thanksgiving, and he had not come on that trip and gotten that kind of feedback. And I really don't think, if he'd have come on that trip and his son hadn't passed, I don't know that he would have asked the questions and drawn out the testimonials that the way that he did.
Right. And
that's why it's so powerful, because people are saying things about loss, and they're talking about all these things that he is going through, and no one knows it. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, that to me was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is a great inspirational documentary that everyone needs to, you want to know all about Dive Heart, you got to watch that. And we'll definitely address that in the show notes, where people can find you, how people can reach out to you, what people can do. What do you see for Dive Heart as far, you've been around for 22 years, and I'm sure you didn't imagine when you first started, or maybe you did, at all that you have done, you know, the communities, the people that you've reached. I mean, what do you see, you know, for more as far as the future? Like, what do you want to accomplish, you know, in the next few years with this organization? How do you see it?
It's interesting, because the blind ski group that I was with, right? Our big fundraiser for the year was a pizza party in the summer. I thought when I started Dive Heart, I was totally resigned to doing the same kind of thing. It's like, we'll do stuff in the pool, we'll go to the quarry in the summer when it's warm, and then we'll go on a trip once a year. And had no idea that we'd be doing what we're doing. And in 2020, we canceled 14 trips, seven out of the country, and 200 pool programs around the country. Wow. So the answer is, I had no clue we're going to be here. Mm-hmm. But every day I get up and I go, 90% of success is showing up.
Yes, absolutely.
Jim, get out of bed, show up. I know you don't feel like it today. Go do it. And what's happened is, we just recently we want to build a deep warm water therapy pool. That's our long-term goal.
Okay.
We're getting very close to it. We have an amazing team of architects and engineers behind us doing pro bono work, lawyers that have helped us. And they encourage us to get patents on our design, because it's a very design for therapy pool. And so we did, and both of the patents we applied for have been granted. One, 3 years to get them on the design. So we're very excited about that. We have the patents. Mm-hmm. We have a 12-acre space in north of Chicago that we have a university medical center that wants to give to us. And it's surrounded by the VA hospital and by the military base. So all the elements are there. And so we're just kind of moving the ball down the field and trying to make that happen. So that's kind of, and research is another one. In May, we're going to present at a conference with physicians and researchers from Mayo Clinic. And they asked us to kind of present to them on scuba therapy. So we said, yes, where's your conference? And they said, Cozumel, Mexico. So they're all divers, right? So I,
yeah. Like, yeah.
So, which makes sense because they approach us at a dive show. So, but yeah, so research is a big, 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 big part.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, I've invited David Marsh, the filmmaker, to come to Cozumel while we present. So he'll capture the presentation, but he'll also capture stories, I'm hoping, from doctors of different disciplines. So you have, you know, your cardiac doctor and you have your, you know, other specialties, and they'll be able to reflect on scuba therapy from their perspective as a diver, but also their specialty. And I'm hoping we can use some of those anecdotes and testimonials and whatever in our symposiums and also grow scuba as a therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The medical community.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like you're developing your own training treatment program. If you've tried this and it doesn't work, or you want to try a different alternative, you know, therapy, give this a go, because I mean, from what you're saying, you know, kids as young as 10, maybe 8 can start, and, you know, you don't have to have any type of experience, right? I mean, do you get people that are afraid of water, and somehow you're able to help them overcome? Because that's a biggie, I would think. I mean, other than wanting the confidence back, like someone who's afraid of water. There's a lot of us out there.
Hey, I tell you what, actually, it's easier working with someone with a disability than it is someone who's able-bodied, right? We call them TABIs. TABI stands for temporarily able-bodied individual.
Oh, wow.
And that's really all of us, right? If you're not if you're not a wheelchair user today, doesn't mean you won't be one tomorrow.
Yeah, true.
So it's going to take all of us down eventually, right? So so that's kind of... you know, a joke we use with individuals of all abilities, really.
I'm sure you've come across people who are afraid of the water. How do you get through, help them overcome that? You know, do they ever overcome that fear? Or
well, you know, it's interesting because people with disabilities, they're challenged every day by simple things like getting out of bed, going to the bathroom. So their head is in the game more when they come to us, I think. And they're prepared to take on challenges that able-bodied people a lot of times are not. But the there was a story that comes to mind where I had 5 instructors work with this one young woman. Mm-hmm. And we can't do anything with her, Jim. The anxiety is off the charts. And so I took her, and our philosophy is challenged by choice. Mm-hmm. And it's not a race, I always tell people. So we spent a lot, extraordinary amount of time in the pool, in shallow water, eventually got into the quarry and sat, I remember sitting in like 3 feet of water and just laying on the bottom with our scuba gear on, piling up little rocks on top of each other, kind of learning to breathe and learning to relax and stuff like that. And now this young woman is an instructor trainer
in
technical diving. So she's like really high speed diver.
Yeah.
So it definitely can happen. And yes, we can help people overcome their fears. We do it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. That's so amazing. I think I can talk all day about this. This has been such an eye opener again, through our mutual friend who introduced us. Otherwise, I would have never known that this form of therapy or this beautiful thing exists, and that you have made it accessible to so many people, even, you know, having people who aren't necessarily disabled, but they may have a loved one, or they may read about your organization and they're like, oh, I want to help. This is a great organization. To think that someone like me who has no diving experience whatsoever could make a difference. I think that, you know, that's beautiful. You really have a very long, wide outreach. I mean, the fact that it's not just here in the States, but also Malaysia, like you said, in another, I mean, another world, another country. It's like, oh my God, the outreach that. So I definitely, now that it's on my radar, I'm probably going to see it somewhere. I'm like, oh my God, did you think about scuba diving and how, you know, I would have never thought. I want to just say that this is amazing what you're doing. This is a wonderful thing, and please keep doing it. And, you know, for the listeners out there, please help, volunteer, do whatever you can. Jim, if people want to reach out to you or contact you or your organization, like to help or volunteer, or maybe they want to know more about it because they do have a loved one who's disabled, how, what's the best place to reach you, or how's the best way to get to you guys?
Well, on our website, you would diveheart.org. You could go to info@diveheart. That goes to my office manager, Denise, and executive director, Tina Marie. And then the phone number goes right to me. And so you would talk to me. If you called us, you go right to me. Awesome. And what I do is I try to identify what your needs are to decide where you go. Do you go to training? Do I forward you to my training coordinator? Or do I, you know, set you up with somebody in California? Mm-hmm. Do I invite you to an event or something along those lines? But yeah, and then, you know, people can help us by sharing our story and encouraging people to support us. It's passion for me because I don't draw a salary, never have, and never will. I just want to be able to spend the rest of my life making a difference.
Yeah, and you have, and I definitely know you will. And I'll definitely make sure to put that in the show notes, how people can contact you and reach out to you, and definitely follow you. I'm following you on social and everything, because it's just amazing. And although my son is 4, I may be reaching out to you in a few years, because this is really an eye opener, and definitely for moms like us, that, you know, are challenged and are in the struggle every day. And sometimes we just can't figure things out. And all we want to do is help our loved ones feel loved and included. And you're definitely doing that.
I congratulate you, because my background is, I have 3 strong women that I blame for me. My great grandmother, my mother took her in and was a caregiver for her at the end of her life. And then at the end of my grandmother's life, I had the opportunity to be her caregiver. Oh. And then at the end of my mother's life, I was able to be her caregiver as well. So, but they, you know, gave to me.
Yes. Yes.
So I, you know, and my mother was a single mother for a long time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's tough. It's tough, but you know, you really do. I know it's a cliche, but you really need a village. I mean, I'm blessed that I have my mom with me, and she does help me, and I have family, although I'm originally from New York. So most of my family's up there, but the little bit that I have here, the community, it's very strong. And I will say that, you know, as you, what you have done for the community, it really does help, especially moms, single moms, not feel so alone. Right. So definitely keep doing what you're doing. This is just amazing. And I'm so glad and blessed that you were able to come here on my show. And thank you so much. And you know what? I hope that you come back and we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk about where you are as far as that new pool that you said you're working on. Oh my God, that's gonna be a game changer. That's gonna be amazing.
It will be.
And I'm sure it's gonna be wonderful. So many blessings to you and your organization and what you're doing. And I can't wait to chat again. And for those of you out there, my listeners and followers, I just want to thank you for listening, and I hope you guys got a lot out of it. I'll be sure to put his contact information in the show notes. If you want to learn more about DiveHeart, please do. It's a remarkable organization. It really has touched my heart, and I know it will touch yours as well. So thank you, Jim, for joining us. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.